This week on America Interrupted from the PBS NewsHour. The coronavirus has killed 200,000 and infected 6.5 million people in the U.S. But amid those statistics, there are the 2.5 million Americans who have recovered from the disease.
We're survivors. I thank God for it. And that's all I can say.
We hear from three of those survivors about what it was like to have COVID-19, why getting better is an ongoing process, and why it affects people so differently.
Your personal experience is so vastly different than mine, than to yours, than to anyone else's.
Listen and subscribe to America Interrupted, wherever you listen to podcasts.
As Election Day nears, with voting already underway, the political landscape shows no sign of settling down. So the perfect time for Politics Monday. That means Amy Walter of the Cook Political Report and the host of Public Radio's Politics with Amy Walter, and Erin Haynes. She is the editor-at-large of The 19th. It's a nonprofit and nonpartisan newsroom reporting on the intersection of gender and politics. Tamara Keith is away. Hello to both of you. So, Amy, this New York Times story about the president's taxes, reportedly he paid very little on a lot of income. He says it's all fake news. And you're telling us that, hey, it's another day of Donald Trump at the center of the news. So what are you thinking about this?
Yeah, another day of Donald Trump at the center of the news isn't always a very good thing for Donald Trump. This is a president who is sitting now somewhere around 42-43% in terms of his overall job approval rating. And the focus continues to be on either things that aren't really great for him, whether it is his handling of the COVID pandemic, or in this case, still controversy swirling around his taxes. Now, this isn't new information, obviously, Judy. This has been out there for quite some time. Some of the data in here, of course, is definitely new and groundbreaking. But in terms of voters' perceptions of the president, I don't know that it changes anything. But what it does do, as I said, is it keeps the focus on Donald Trump instead of on other things Donald Trump would like to be talking about, namely his opponent and the shortcomings of his opponent. And this is so, you know, clearly this is a time the president, behind in the polls with low approval ratings, needs to be on offense. He can't afford to be on his back foot right now, and that's where he is.
So, Erin, how are you looking at this? It is a day of focus on the president. It's not a day we're talking about Joe Biden, and it's not particularly great news, even though the president says it's all fake.
Yeah, you're right. And aside from the specific issue of his taxes, right, because the majority of Americans are certainly not tax attorneys and neither are journalists. But, you know, unlike Russia or the Ukraine, those kinds of conversations, the issue of taxes is something that is literally a kitchen table issue for millions of people in this country who are taxpayers. And so kind of the surface level gist of this story is something that they are able to understand, even if they don't have time to kind of digest the very thorough reporting of the New York Times. You know, but the other thing, aside from the specific issue of taxes, is that this does kind of hit on a recurring theme, the idea that the president has misled Americans about who he is. He has portrayed himself to voters as somebody other than who he is, you know, rich, successful, but most of all to his supporters, somebody like you, right? Well, most Americans are paying way more than $750 in their federal income tax, and so I think that you know is kind of disconnected from the narrative that he pushes to people. Now, you know, whether or not for his supporters, that is going to be enough, like one story, even though the New York Times has said there's going to be more reporting on this issue, whether one story is enough of a counterweight to, his years in public life, his, many seasons on The Apprentice, and his 4 years in office, giving them many of the right things that they, you know, voted for, that's really unclear, but it's almost certainly going to be among the first questions in this debate. And it is thing that is going to be in the conversation for voters to at least think about as they are already voting in states across the country.
For sure. And I do want to ask you about the debate in just a moment. But Amy, I want to come back to something that the president, I'm sure we're sure was hoping would be a positive for him, and that's his choice of Judge Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court to fill the Ruth Bader Ginsburg seat. Is this something that is likely to excite his conservative base, win him some votes of women, where we see the president, you know, as is trailing Joe Biden, or could it have the opposite effect and energize more the Democrats?
Right. I mean, you're right, Judy. This is the day that we were supposed to be talking about a really successful rollout for the president this weekend of his Supreme Court nominee. This would be his third appointee to the Supreme Court. Definitely something he wanted to be able to go into the debates talking about. And of course, that's been drowned out. And I also do wonder, to your point about who does it excite, if it doesn't end up being just a wash, that while it may excite some conservative Republicans, I don't agree that those folks were already on Donald Trump's side. There was definitely been some erosion of support for Donald Trump among some groups of voters that he had won over in 2016. But among those sort of evangelical white voters, that level of support for him, at least that we've seen recently, has been pretty solid and pretty consistent. Instead, what we don't really know about is a backlash to this among Democrats. And it's pretty clear that Democrats are about as fired up as we've seen them, certainly in recent years. We know we're going to hit historic turnout. And so I think at the end of the day, what we end up finding out is both sides have incredible turnout. But the problem for the president is his base is simply smaller than Joe Biden. The other thing than Joe Biden's base and coalition. The other thing we know, Judy, is every time that over the course of his entire presidency, every time the president has found an issue that motivates his base sticks together and they're supportive of this. But we find it doesn't just have an equal reaction right. among people who don't like him. It has an equal and even stronger reaction among the other side. His strong disapproval rating among Democrats or those who say that they disapprove of the job he's doing as president has always been significantly higher than those who say they love him.
Aaron, what about that? What about that, the people you talk to in terms of whether this does the president more harm than good?
Well, there are certainly, Democratic women, Black women, who were thrilled at the prospect of a Joe Biden victory equaling a Black woman finally being the next person to be nominated and possibly confirmed to the Supreme Court. And so they are very energized. They were already motivated to vote in this election around the issue of systemic racism, the pandemic, and other issues. But the Supreme Court is definitely something that I'm hearing is also very much on the ballot for them. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, her legacy is looming large for Democratic women. I mean, you've seen, the public grieving for her, which could translate politically at the polls. As I've said, early voting already underway. Right. And folks are saying that they are going to the polls with Justice Ginsburg on their minds as they do that. But I mean, there are conservative women who are hailing this choice, maybe not as vocal, maybe not as visible as some of the enthusiasm and energy that we're seeing on the other side. And maybe, they are, celebrating or approving of this choice, even as it may not be kind of the top priority for them when you think about issues like, frankly, the pandemic, issues like childcare, issues of the economy that may be a little bit higher on the hierarchy of needs in this, kind of chaotic election season that really is the intersection of everything. But I do think this has the potential to have an effect on both sides.
All right, a little less than a minute. I want each one of you to tell me what you think each man has to do tomorrow night at the debate. Amy.
Donald Trump has to come out on the offensive. We know that that's where he likes to be anyway. But again, a sitting president, a month out from an election, coming from behind, he needs to come in early and often, put Biden where he hasn't been for very often in this race, back on his heels. For Joe Biden, just be steady and project this sense that he has throughout the campaign of being a unity candidate.
Aaron, what does each one have to do for you?
Yeah, frankly, President Trump is going to have to focus on how he has delivered for his supporters and for the American people. And Joe Biden is going to have to focus on how he believes the president has not and how he will do that instead.
All right. I've written all this down. We're going to come and we're going to ask you next time. What happened? Aaron Haynes, Amy Walter, thank you both.
Welcome.